No.
No, I can't.
So we're having this shit.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures. White Oak Pastures cattle are raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all of their lives. White Oak Pastures, all natural, grass-fed beef has been available in all of the Whole Foods stores in the Mid-Atlantic states. We hope that you will support their program through your purchase of our beef through one of these Whole Foods stores. For more information about White Oak Pastures, go to whiteoakpastures.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking food headlines, the Hot Five, and much more. If you're listening to Hot Grease Food Radio and you have questions and you want to call in live, a live call-in number is 718-497-2128. Michelle Obama under attack, midterm elections, people fed up with foodies, and white as Wonder Bread at Tufts University. We begin the chat fest now. Today's guest is Melissa Danielle. I thought she'd been on the show once, but this is her third time. You like Donna Brazile of Hot Grease, huh?
I am. I have been on this show now three times.
Oh, wow. Melissa connects farmers to eaters and promotes sustainable organic living in New York City and beyond. Welcome to Hot Grease again, Melissa.
Thank you.
First up, public attack number two on Michelle Obama. First was her personal vacation to Spain, and now the healthy food financing initiatives. I found out about this article on Obama Foodorama, and I guess the Fox 5 folks are talking about her food deserts and food financing grocery store initiative. What are your thoughts?
I feel like it's actually, you know, commentators' jobs or the opposing parties' jobs to criticize and attack whoever's in office. And so, you know, they're within their right to do that. But while I have my own issues with the term food desert, I think that what she's doing is great. I think she's bringing awareness and to the issues and empowering people both in urban and rural settings about the disparities that people face with food access.
So Glenn Beck quote said, "You know what, Mrs. Obama, would you do me a favor? When you get your husband to stop smoking in a federal building, then call me." I'm like, wow. End quote. That's Glenn Beck. He said that on his show on October 29th. And he has suggested on previous occasion that Mrs. Obama and her Let's Move campaign will lead to global riots over French fries. Speechless, huh?
You know, it's ridiculous. This is all very high school. I think that, you know, really when you make a tax like this, it really says that you don't really have anything else. You don't have anything tangible. You don't have anything real to argue about. And so you pick on these little small issues that really have nothing to do with what she's trying to do. And if they had actually, you know, it's, you know, paid attention to this from the beginning instead of just coming in now, you know, now that we've had our elections, where were they when she first started talking about this? They weren't paying attention. And now that they're here, it's like all of a sudden now you have something to say. it's really childish.
True that. So speaking of elections, Tim Philpott wrote a great piece on grist.org titled "What the Midterm Means for Federal Ag Policy Reform." Does this mean anything, the midterms elections for the food system?
I think it does, considering how much big ag supports many members of Congress. There is actually a website, which I forgot, that has it's color-coded by which industries fund which candidates.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sorry that I didn't bring that with me, but it was very interesting to look at the number of candidates across industries and which corporations across industries fund them. You know, if you do not have the support of, if small farmers don't have the support of Congress, you know, in terms of policy, it really is going to have an impact on how we think about food. It's going to impact our relationship with farmers, especially when we talk about regional food systems, you know, the way that we think about farmers markets or CSAs, and even issues such as raw milk and being able to buy your food directly on a farm and not have to not like a have a small farmer have to be under the same scrutiny as a larger farm, as a big ag. So right. that definitely will have an impact.
Tom spoke a lot in his article, and this article on grist.org was written on November 3rd. He spoke a lot about the farm bill, which is coming up in 2012, and a lot of grassroots policy organizations are starting now to work on their plan for the farm bill. But he also talked about the change in committee chairs in both the House and the Senate. And I do see some names and remember some names. He's throwing out ADM and Carville, which are big, what we call big ag food producers or middlemen or whatever you want to call them. So you're right. I mean, my commentary on the piece is this is going to affect a lot. It's going to slow down the possible process that could have happened while Obama is in office, and I think this should shift the focus to a more hyper local what's going on in your community and trying to create some change there.
Right. I certainly, especially with regards to food, I think that we release so much of our power to corporations and to these companies that believe that they have our best interests in mind, and we really should be holding everyone accountable from our local, on our local level, even on the state level, accountable for what rules are being made in terms of how food can be grown and packaged and delivered to us, full disclosure about the ingredients that are being used in our foods, and even, you know, empowering us to have more choices about how we wish to purchase our foods. And those are, and by participating in a local regional food system, that is giving us that power to say, this is how I choose to buy my, to purchase my foods. This is the kind of visibility and transparency that I want, as a participant, as an eater, as a consumer in the food system.
We have two more food headlines. Up next is you actually sent me this op-ed published in, is it Tufts or Tufts?
Tufts.
Tufts University's daily newspaper. They're in Boston, actually. And it's signed by, I'm going to assume, let me read this now. It was signed by a group of students, and they list all the students in the op-ed. It's only students. I thought there were a few faculty members. And the title of the op-ed is "As White as Wonder Bread." And on November 5th and 6th, which was last week, the Friedman School of Nutrition Sciences, they're having an annual symposium about food and wellness. And I'm going to assume food access. I did not go deep into their website to look at the schedule, but they have confirmed 27 speakers and only one is of color. The students were pissed. And I guess the question that I have for you is that Do you think this op-ed will change the faces of people invited to speak at future food events, and particularly at on the college and university level?
I certainly think it will change. I'm not confident that it will move fast, but you know, at the speed in which this article has circled around the interwebs, I think that more and more universities will take note of this issue and look for ways to be more inclusive. I have colleagues that speak in academics across spectrums, and the colleagues of color always point out that they happen to be one of the few people of color on panels, that they, when they bring these issues up, you know, the panel organizers are often resistant or offended by the suggestion that they weren't inclusive enough. So I think that part of the work among these institutions is that they have to engage in dismantling racism.
Yeah. And the symposium, you're exactly right. And because the symposium is bringing together policymakers and food industry leaders, public health experts, and sustainable food activists through science and a policy framework to talk about the issues. And I just find it hard to believe all these things, different factors, diseases, lack of, are affecting communities of color, and there's only one person. That is right. Absolutely,
it's ridiculous. It's very problematic to engage in these kinds of conversations and not include the very people that, you know, these conversations affect.
We have about 1 minute for the last headline. On a very funny, lighter note, the New York Times blog, the New York Times food magazine blog, did a quick little blog entry called Grass Fed Up. It seems that people are sick of us, Melissa, chatting and breathing and living food 24/7. You know, we can talk about food for like all 5 hours straight. Day. What do you think?
You know, I think it's funny. I know, I think it's okay to poke fun at yourself every now and again and not be offended. Certainly, it's like there are other issues. There are other things going on in the world. But at the same time, it's like never in any point in history have we been this excited about food in a way that is participatory. You know, it's like we're engaging on food on new levels. We're exploring foods. We're moving beyond what we've been socialized to think about food. But at the same time, yes, it's like it can be exhausting. Sometimes you just want to eat.
Yeah, I think my friends and family are like, oh, gosh, I mean, all you do is talk about food. It's kind of
my father says the same thing. He's like, you're obsessed with food. I don't know any woman that talks about food as much as you do. And he's right. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, this is one of the few things that we actually can have control over. When True we're that. Increasingly losing more and more control over other aspects of our life, food is that one thing that we can still say, you know, I choose to eat this. Whether it's the choice to go to a fast food restaurant or to have a home cooked meal, it's one of the last places that we have a say in.
Correcto. We're going to take a short break and come back with more Melissa Danielle, and we're going to keep talking food.
Picture me in one of those two-seater things, top down, so thoughts of you were in the breeze. And the wind, and the wind, and the wind's in my head. But each time I say I won't be back around, you get me back around. And I know you bring me down, but still somehow you seem to get me high.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. check out our program schedule. I'm here every Monday live at 3:30 Eastern Time, or you can catch me via subscribing to my podcast, or feel free to go to heritageradionetwork.com. You can click there and listen to the archives. There. In the studio, we have born and bred New York City girl, Melissa Danielle, a food systems strategist, health coach, and social media consultant. Talking to a native New Yorker is equivalent to like finding an old cassette tape, Melissa. Okay. So I have to ask you this question. Besides pizza and bagels, what food reminds you of old New York?
I'd have to say it's the deli.
The deli?
Yes. It's being able to go get a hot pastrami on rye with mustard or corned beef sandwich. Yeah, it's the deli. It's the old Jewish delis that are...
But they're dead almost.
Well, you have to know where to go. I mean, there's still... Well, you know, there's the Pastrami Queen on the Upper East Side. There's Katz's. There's...
I think it's one in Carroll Gardens. I can't remember.
That's not... You're talking about Mile End?
Not really.
Okay.
Mile End, I kind of like you.
They're not a... They're not a New York style deli. They are a Canadian deli.
I would really love, and I probably should tell Mile in this. I need to send her an email. If she would just change her beef from Creekstone, we would be like best friends.
I'm not sure that people are really educated on Creekstone, so because one of our favorite places carries Creekstone as well.
Yes. In Bed-Stuy. And yes. Speaking of Bed-Stuy, you grew up in Bed-Stuy.
I grew up in Bed-Stuy.
And you're one of the core members of the Bed-Stuy CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. And that is a great gathering space for folks. I love going to pick up my food from the Bed-Stuy Farm Share. Do you remember any food-centric gathering spaces when you were growing up in Bed-Stuy?
I remember a McDonald's dining room. On Stuyvesant and Macon. No, this was a family owned restaurant called McDonald's.
Not McDonald's.
Okay. So there was McDonald's dining room. A lot of the places are really older than me. Like, I mean, there's Sugar Hill on DeKalb and Nostrand and Brown Sugar Supper Club on Marcus Garvey. Those are some of the meeting points. They still are. They've changed over the years. But, those were the places that you went to for good food in the neighborhood.
Speaking of coming together, give the listeners a glimpse into your recent trip/farm visit to North Carolina.
All right. Well, a couple of weekends ago, I visited Tillery, North Carolina. It is the site of... a New Deal resettlement farms during Roosevelt's New Deal. One of the programs that were initiated was to relocate families who were interested in farming to different farming states around the country, and Tillery, North Carolina was one of those. It's also the home of the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association, and I attended their rally and benefit to save Black farmers and prevent land loss. I know all of you, some of you may have been following the Pigford versus USDA
case,
and that's where all that stems out of. And it was just very interesting to see a very different face of agriculture than what I am used to in New York City. My experiences with agriculture in New York City is around food and sustainable farming practices, whereas where I visited in Tillery, North Carolina, it's very much, this particular area was around commodity farming. So that was new
for
me.
What do you mean when you say commodity
farming? The farms that I passed and the farm that I was on in Tillery, North Carolina are growing cotton, soybeans, and peanuts, which all happen to be genetically modified versions. And so in this particular area, they're not growing food. So that was new. That was, and that was an interesting thing for me to see.
So the average Black family probably have had, what, two or three generations or owning land and growing something. And how many acres on average?
This particular family, the Grant family, whose land I was on, it's five siblings, and they own upwards of 450 acres between them.
40 acres and a mule, huh? Right. They almost got it.
Right. And so what's unfortunate is that, as far as I know, this family is not actually farming. I think there might actually be one sibling that's farming. They rent out a majority of or lease their land to farmers, but they themselves are not farming.
If you are just tuning in to Hot Grease Food Radio, we have Melissa Danielle in the studio. Stick with us. We're going to take a short break and come back with what you guys love, something to warm you up. Keep listening. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by White Oak Pastures, Mr. Will Harris, one of my favorite people in the great state of Georgia. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. We need some heat in New York City today. It is very, very cold, and I have the answer. The Hot Five.
All right.
The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. Melissa Danielle, darling, you're going to give us the five good food movement people underground style.
Right, yes.
Okay, so number five on your good food movement underground list.
Bryant Terry.
Bryant Terry, number five. I think we definitely mentioned him quite a few times on Hot Grease. Give us a brief synopsis of Mr.
Bryant Terry is an eco-soul chef and activist who is helping people to reimagine soul food or what they know about soul food through his work, merging sustainable food practices with healthy plant-based eating. And I think he's definitely doing a great job working specifically in Black communities across the country, getting them to rethink their relationship with food and reclaim their agricultural and food heritage in this country.
So number five, and I don't even think he's underground. I really think that Bryant Terry, everyone knows him. I definitely think he is the face of color for the movement. So Bryant Terry, number five. Number four on your list.
I have Nichelle Stevens, who is actually a recent guest
Nichelle, are you listening?
Yes. So she is the co-founder of Cupcakes Take the Cake. She is also a regular blogger and writer on various issues around food and finance. And I think that she is one of an important voice that is taking shape in food today.
Yeah, I mean, I think she has the number one food, the number one cupcake blog in the world. So to be a person of color and really to be an expert on cupcakes is like... That's deep. That's I know it's kind of some people they're like, yeah, cupcakes, yeah, yeah. But no, she's the authority on cupcakes in the United States. So number four, Nichelle Stevens. Number three on the underground style, good food movement, movers and shakers.
This one that not too many people know about. His name is Barry Crumley. He is the New York, New Jersey representative for the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association, doing a lot of great work in Mount Vernon and Yonkers and New York City to build relationships, to build a sort of north-south relationship, to build that bridge between people who are interested in farming, in agriculture, and in issues that face Black farmers today. And I think he's doing really great work. He actually will be hosting a panel at the upcoming Black Farmers and Urban Gardeners Conference this November 19th to the 21st at Brooklyn College. And so if you have not purchased your tickets yet, now's the time.
Yeah, you can go right online. Karen Washington will be really excited that we're talking about this now. It's $25 for the Saturday event, and I think even $25 for the Sunday.
Yes.
And the keynote speaker is Will Allen. You guys should know Will Allen.
Exciting.
Growing Power. And there's another event, a networking thing on that Friday. So go to Black Farmers Conference, maybe .org.com.
It's Black Farmers, CONF.org.
Aha. Uh-huh. So number three, Brother Barry Crumbly. Number two on the movers and shakers of the good food movement.
I have number is Trisha Okin of Paper Cut New York.
Trisha.
Trisha is doing great work bringing people involved in good food and sustainable agriculture to the forefront of technology, helping them produce up-to-date websites, keeping them connected online. So I think that's a valuable service. Because one of the issues that is facing a lot of people working in good food is that they are not connected to social media. They're not online. And that is preventing them from having the reach they need to get their missions out and to get the support and awareness they need.
Yeah, I think Trisha actually did a CSA in Manhattan.
Yes.
I'm not sure which CSA. I can't remember.
I think it might be 6th Street.
Okay. And then I know she recently completed Stony Brook Oils. Olive oils, something like that. She like quadrupled their site traffic. So yeah, Trisha, she's number, was that number three?
That was number two.
Oh yeah, because the last few hot fives, I've just been just slicing it up and screwing it up. So number two, Papercut NYC, that's her handle on Twitter. Number one, underground style, movers, shakers, good food movement.
Number one, someone that, I've worked personally with on some projects and, you know, has become a really dear friend and colleague to me. And that would be Nicole A. Taylor, culturist and host of Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Networks.
Oh, so I'm on the list.
You are on the list.
So
we co-signed that back here.
Jack even got on that one. What?
Yes, I have to say that you are doing a wonderful job of connecting bridging many worlds to good, putting a new face on a different face and a different perspective to the work that we're doing in the good food movement. And you're building bridges. And I think this is really important. It's really important to be in this space, to be who you are as a person of color, as a Southern girl in New York City.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm touched. You're I'm really touched. And people, if you listened last week, you know that I'm going to work on a new project in 2011. Some of you guys may or may not know. I'm working on a book proposal to look at Black cafes and restaurants in the United States to profile those. But the second project that I want to do is a photo book, maybe a small zine of people who have not been profiled on these lists that are on certain magazines or even some books that have come out. So I want to compile people that are bubbling up. And so, Melissa, I'm going to have guests from now until mid-2011 to come on and give them five folks, and they'll probably make the cut. It's going to be a big deal. I want to make a big deal out of it. So, Melissa, thank you for your hot five.
Thank you for having me.
For the third time. We're going to have to start paying you if you come on again. Oh, Lord. Like, Donna Brazile or let's see, or what's his name, Juan Williams or... How funny. So if people are listening, Melissa actually was one of the first folks to help with my social media strategy, and folks need business. How can folks reach out to you, Melissa?
You can visit me online at melissadanielle.com and on Twitter at honeybeeholistic. It's honey, the letter B, holistic.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Have a great, I think Veterans Day is coming up.
Yes, my dad is actually a veteran, so they'll be spending part of the day with him.
Okay, and a great Thanksgiving. Listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday live on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.